This is my first time teaching in a while, so bear with me. If I stumble any, I'll need some good participation, but I think we'll be able to get through it. And I'll start where we, well, first lesson two is about the flood. God sends a flood. And I'm going to follow the course material, and I'm going to start where we always start when we talk about God sending the flood, Marshall University football. So I'll read their introduction. On November 14th, 1970, the Marshall University football team was playing East Carolina in Greenville, North Carolina. In the third quarter, Marshall found themselves behind on the scoreboard, but refused to give up. Their quarterback, Ted Shoebridge, led the herd 76 yards in only seven plays as they attempted to start the second half strong. With 6 minutes left in the third quarter, Shoebridge threw the football to one of his most trusted receivers for a touchdown and tied the score at 14. Despite that great drive down the field, Marshall ended up losing the game by a score of 17-14. Little did they know, the bad events of that day were only beginning. Amid rain and moderate fog, the team boarded the aircraft for the flight home. There were 75 people aboard the aircraft, 37 players, 25 fans, 8 coaches, and 5 flight crew members. The plane crashed near the location of Marshall University. Near Marshall University in Huntington, West Virginia, and everyone aboard the plane was killed. The story made national television and newspaper, and it was the worst crash that year in the United States. You may be familiar with the movie We Were Marshall that came out a few days before Christmas in 2006. The movie was based on this tragedy. What do you do after a catastrophic, unspeakable incident such as this? Where do you start? Would you fold? Would you go home? The Marshall University Thundering Herd made the courageous decision to make a fresh start. They hired a coach in March 1971 and attempted to rebuild the football program. The first year of his tenure, he played sophomores, walk-ons, and freshmen. Today, because of that decision, the university made to make a fresh start, the Marshall football team is still in existence. So in this introduction, what I believe the author's trying to do is not so much the tragedy, but the fresh start, make a correlation between the tragedy of Marshall University, which was the plane crash to death, but the tragedy in the Noah story, the flood, is man's sin. Marshall decided to start over, even after a horrible event, and that has why they have a football team now. God decided with all our sin that he was going to give us a second chance, another chance to survive. He didn't have to. As we learned in chapter 6, he had made the decision that we'd crossed the line. He was not going to put up with us indefinitely, which shows that he's a man of his word, or a God of his word. But he did also show mercy to Noah. But let's continue with what it says. When our text for this lesson, Genesis 7, is considered, we see God feels the same toward his creation. Because of increasing corruption and sinful activity, the creation of God needed a fresh start, and he resolved to destroy them with a flood. Now think about the power of water. It has the power to wash away roads, carve a huge canyon like the Grand Canyon, or sweep a car off the road. This was how God resolved to destroy his creation. However, this was not to be an ordinary rainstorm. The rain would be falling and not stop for 40 days, and Noah and his family stayed for a total of just over 1 year on the ark before the waters finally subsided. After a long time of construction, this enormous boat, and preaching about the day when the world would be destroyed with the flood, that day had finally come. Noah and his family were to enter the ark, and the animals would follow. It is interesting, God told Noah to take seven of each, which It says here, sub-note, that it could mean seven or seven pairs of clean animals, but only take two of the unclean. For a distinction between clean and unclean animals, we could read Leviticus, or if you want to look it up on your own, or Deuteronomy, Leviticus 11, 1 through 47, or Deuteronomy 14. Why was this? After Noah and his family got off the ark, some of the animals were offered as sacrifice, Genesis 8, 20. Let's go ahead, and if someone can read, let's go through. Let's read through 15, Genesis 7 through 1 through 15, if someone could read that, please.
And the Lord said to Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, and thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female. Of fowls also of the air by sevens, male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. And Noah did according unto all the Lord commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old, waters was upon the earth. And Noah went in, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him into the ark, because of the waters of the flood. Of clean beasts, and of beasts that are not clean, and of fowls, and of everything that creepeth upon the earth. There went in two and two unto Noah, into the ark, the male and the female, as God had commanded Noah. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, 17th day of the month, in the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. And the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. In the selfsame day, they and every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the face after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, every bird of every sort. And they went in unto Noah into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life.
All right. Let me find my spot again. All right, so clean pairs he brought. Some were sacrificed after the end, or after they got off the ark. Some were eaten for food to ensure survival. The flood, let's talk about the actual flood for a little while. Once Noah and his family and animals were safely aboard, God shut the door. He made a decision, he shut the door, and that was it. If you were outside the ark, you were outside the ark. If you were inside the ark, you were inside the ark. There's no gray area in between. I think we can all pull what was the point of that. Perhaps it would be of interest to note that in the Hebrew text of this verse, the personal name for God, Yahweh, was used in this text. So what I feel it's trying to say, or the point of that is God's name was used. So Noah had an intimate relationship with God. Which obviously it shows that, but to me that says that's anything short of that, and the door is going to be shut to your ark. It was now time for the ark to leave the spot it's been sitting for many years to see if it would float. The Bible says all the fountains of the great deep were broken up and the windows of heavens were opened up. So it's more than just rain. And I can't remember what coast it's off of, but there's freshwater springs out in the ocean. Is anyone in the Navy or had maybe a father in the Navy? From what I understand, there's some freshwater springs in the ocean that the Navy ships will actually park over, and that's where they'll collect water for their ship because it's better than the salt water. I can't remember where I read that. It might have been something from Apologetics Press. So I just find it interesting that things that we've learned to us in recent years, you know, the Bible's talking about years ago. And it may not be exactly, but I just kind of thought about that correlation. But yeah, it speaks of the grounds, water coming up from the ground. Let's see. Windows of heaven opening up. Not only was it rain from the sky, but it appears from the text that water was coming from underground as well. I think it would catch all of us off guard if in a storm we not only looked out our back window and saw rain falling from the sky, but water shooting up from underground in our backyard. Not only did the rain come from above and below, it continued for 40 days. Often we check the weather, and the meteorologist might say something to the effect, the rain will only last a few hours at most, and we will move, and it will move east. However, this is hardly the case. With the story of Noah, the flood was truly unique because the water was coming from both directions, and it lasted over a month. Think of how much time it would take for that much water to dry. The water was from the heavens and the earth and did not stop falling for 40 days. Fortunately, the Bible tells us in Genesis 7:24, it says that the water remained on earth for 150 days. This means the entire earth was covered standing water for almost 6 months. The Bible does not shy away from telling us that the Lord destroyed everything that possessed the breath of life. What would it have been like for Noah and his family to hear the bodies and the animals clashing against the ark? What would it have been like for Noah and his family to hear the desperate screams, help from mothers, fathers trying to save their children, children crying? Noah and his family were saved, which is rebirth anew, but you know, it also had to be very difficult for them to know. I mean, I'm sure they had relatives, friends, you know, acquaintances, whoever outside, that even though they were saved, there's still pain involved for them in this. And
yes, sir.
Yeah, that's a good.
I mean, it just keeps coming. You know, the lava just keeps coming, and stuff that, you know, obviously this was miraculous and God caused this to happen. It certainly doesn't take very long. I mean, just a few weeks ago, you looked at Maryland and the water that was running, you know, through the cities there and just sweeping people away and buildings. A lot of stuff underground, and you think about oil and water.
And it's hard. I have difficulty, and I think we all probably do, to grasp the awesomeness and the power, just like you're saying, just what's happening in Hawaii or the floods. Like I said, it's to understand the magnitude. Like, I don't think there's nothing to compare it to. Obviously, they tried to correlate with the Marshall flight for a few reasons, but there's nothing in my lifetime that I can even, you know, think about that would even come close to that, this event. And you know, how do we take the scripture and try to, in this story, this event, try to actually to have a complete understanding? And I don't know if it can be truly be done. To think of just the amount, the destruction, and so on. They have five, the author has five lessons, and I'm gonna go through those, and I'd like us to, if anyone has anything to add, discuss these. God will not contend with sin forever. Why do we even have the story of the global flood and destroyed all of creation beside Noah and his family? Because of the idea that God will not tolerate sin forever. There come a point in Noah's day when God decided the people he had made had crossed the line. They had sunk to a state of fleshly living where God's patience had run out. Consequently, he sent a great flood to handle the great sin of mankind. In the Bible, we see two portraits of God. The first God is patient, loving, and merciful. The second picture of God is justice, reckoning, and wrath. As God's people, it is important we do not put too much emphasis on one of these portraits because they are both equally vivid. We must stress the love God has for humanity and his willingness he poses to cleanse the sin of those who obey him. But we must also equally emphasize the idea that he will not tolerate sin forever, and a day is coming in which the disobedient will be judged. Just like I said earlier, you know, that door will be shut. You know, it could happen before the end of this class. It could be happen in a week. It could be happen in 1,000 years. We don't know. But we need to be ready. You know, we have this our lifetime to be ready. We have our lifetime, and that's it. There's no alibi. There's no get out of jail free card. Other than living a life for Christ. Judgment day is coming, and it's a hard truth to grasp for everyone, no matter what the age or where you are in your walk with the Lord. As previously noted, God is not to tolerate in the tolerating sin business. He will illustrate in this story, or he has illustrated in this story, that sin is extremely serious. He will hold us accountable for our actions, thoughts, works. The fact of the matter is, the day of judgment may come, as we talked about before the end of this class. God keeps his promises. God told Noah what he was going to do and what Noah had to do. And then he did it. He didn't do most of it. He didn't do some of it. He did all of it. He did exactly what he was going to tell him. He said, build an ark. Noah did it. He said he's going to destroy the world. God did it. And like I said, he keeps his promises. Additionally, on this topic, God vowed that he would never destroy all living things by means of a flood ever again. And he signified his promise with the rainbow. To this day, there's never been another worldwide flood that has destroyed every living creature. Even though our world is filled with sin and corruption, the Lord is resolved to take care of us. If it is not necessary for the animals to worry about the necessities of life, how much more should we not worry? The Lord keeps his promises to take care of us. We serve a powerful God. Genesis 6 through 8 is a marvelous display of power. But this is one of many we see, 6 through 8. Someone read that, please. I'm sorry, they're saying the whole chapter. I thought they were referring to a verse. God brought the animals to Noah that he needed on the ark. He knew exactly what would take place, and he allowed Noah and his family to prepare accordingly. He flooded the entire earth in 40 days by allowing it to rain and made water come up from the depths of the earth so the ark would float. The list could go on and on. However, the same powerful God we see in the story of Noah wants to empower us to do right. He gives us everything we need for life and godliness, and he seeks to work his power in our lives. Let us use God's power to our advantage and conduct ourselves honorably in his sight and in the sight of all men. And lastly, the ark is never too small for one person, for one more person. In the story of Noah, only 8 people were saved from the flood. But if there were more religious people on the earth, there are more Christians, not Christians, more religious, there are more believers who followed God's word, there would have been more living, there would have been more that were committed to get on the ark. Those who were living their lives rebellion against God were destroyed by the flood. The same is true today. Those who live their lives in rebellion to God will be punished eternally, while those who submit to the will of God will experience eternal bliss. The Lord is willing to save anyone who will submit to his will. In fact, Hebrews 7:25 says that God is able to save to the utmost. According to 1 Timothy 2:4, God desires all men to be saved. In other words, God wishes every individual would be able to go to heaven. This is such a comforting truth, but will it be this way? Unfortunately, no, not everyone will go to heaven. Many passages throughout the Bible express the fact that not everyone will be saved. The reason that everyone if everyone would choose to submit to God, he would never turn away from us. That's all I have. Does anyone want to add anything? Or yes, sir.
To me, the flood emphasizes the power of God. Within, think about Noah and his family, there being the mercy of God. I generally try to remember Romans. Therefore, consider the goodness and severity of God. Now, that's New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
On those who fail, severity. But toward you, goodness. The inhabitants in the flood, that was severe. But for Noah and his family, it turned out to be good.
Mm-hmm.
You continue in his goodness, otherwise you also will be cut off. So, some reason I
remember
that.
Does anyone have anything they'd like to add?
One other thing I can say is when we're talking about God closing the door, how thoughtful that was from God's perspective for Noah and his family. What if Noah had to shut the door?
That's right. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's a lot to live with.
Absolutely. I never. Not in preparing for this, I didn't even think about that. But yeah, that's definitely and the fact that was exactly what you're saying, that was it played out this way, that was intentional. Just shows the power, I guess,
It was sobering to shut the door, but I mean, I can only imagine how thankful God was that Noah was righteous enough to get on with his family. I mean, in the days leading up to it, you know, surely when Noah started building the ark, you know, his message was a little different than when he was getting close to finishing the ark, because I can only expect he knew what the ark was going to be used for. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, first call and then a last call. Hey, you know, it's time.
Mm-hmm.
Once it started raining, his message might have changed one more time, and then, you know, when the floods came on, you know, he knew he had to get on the ark. He couldn't continue to preach to those that were never going to, you know, get on the ark. Mm-hmm. Talk about an intimate
relationship.
Those folks are living, you know, long times, and everybody else is going to be cut off, you know, that all at once. So it's sobering, but then it's also from God's perspective. And thank goodness, you know,
there was,
he can continue with this race.
Well, and how long was the door open? You know, I mean, the door was open for an extended amount of time. So anyone could have got on if they had so desired. All right. We're done a few minutes early. We get a little longer break this time, unless there's anything anyone else wants to add. Yes, sir. Yeah, absolutely. Destroy. Get in. I think that's a great, great point. Well, that's what always, that always interests me is the depth. Every time you think you have something, or you understand something, you may read it again and completely find something different. But all right, nothing else. Thank y'all for your time.